You know, brethren, we all have to pass tests to achieve some level of, or be qualified for some level of responsibility. We all have to continually go under some sort of evaluation. Like, we have to pass a driver's test in order to have the responsibility to get behind a wheel and drive. We have to, if you're trying to get into college, pass an SAT or an ACT. Some of our young people have recently done that. And then once you get into college, you're continually being evaluated. You have to go through tests and quizzes and term papers and attending class and completing assignments. You're always being evaluated. Our work and our careers, we also have responsibilities for which we are being tested. Well, as it goes with life, as it goes with many of the responsibilities in life, that we are being evaluated, being tested, so it goes with our faith. So it goes with our faith, that God is always putting us to a test of some kind. And what is he doing? I'd like you to turn with me to a scripture in Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah 17. And if I called out Jeremiah 17, you might remember, well, Jeremiah 17:9. And what does that scripture say? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Who can know it? Well, let's look at the next verse there. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 17. I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. Why? He wants to see what is there. What is in the heart. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So God is looking at us. He wants to see how we're doing. He wants to test what's in our hearts. And he's working a process to bring us to perfection in Christ. Now that's going to take time. It's going to take time. What is he looking for, though? He wants to see our faith. Again, he wants to know what's in our heart. And is it possible that we could fail the test? That we could fail the test God is evaluating us for? It is. But take heart, though, because God wants us to pass. And God's going to do everything he can to help us pass the test of our faith. If we put in our trust in him, he's going to bring us through every trial. And he wants us then to come to perfection in Christ. So he tests us to bring us to perfection in Christ. Today I'm going to talk about passing the test of our faith. Now, just like in life, we're being evaluated continually. We also are being evaluated by God. He wants to know what we're made of. He wants to test us. And he wants us to succeed. He wants us to pass that test. That's what we'll look at today, passing the test of our faith. He wants to test us, to see and evaluate us, to see what's in our hearts. He wants to know what we're made of. What is in there? Now, we believe in God has granted us or given us the gift of salvation. Many people believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and we place our trust in that sacrifice. Now, what we also say is that we must prove our faith by our works. This is where mainstream Christian thought diverges from our understanding. Well, they say faith alone is required for salvation. We say that we are called to do good works. We are called to do good works to show our faith. Now, we're accused of salvation by works. Well, that's not true. We don't believe that we could do anything to earn salvation. There's absolutely nothing that we can do. But we know, we believe that we are called to show our faith by our works. So let me make some points here in this topic here as we go through and talk about being tested in our faith and passing the test. We're not perfect yet. We're not perfect at this time. We are a work in progress. When we're called out of the world, we've not developed that Christian character that God is looking for. We've not developed that. We might have great zeal for God at first. We might have wonderful determination to live God's way of life. But that character has not yet been developed when we're first called. So God wants to mold us and shape us into His image. He wants us to look like Him in our characters, as Jesus Christ is an exact copy of God the Father's character. In character, they are the same. And that's what God is looking for us in us. And He's working a process in our lives to bring us to that perfection. We are undergoing a transformation from a carnal mind to a spiritual one. We're going from a weak and sinful nature to one that is going to be powerful, immortal, and righteous, eternally righteous. So what God has done in Jesus Christ is, first of all, to reconcile us to Himself. We've been justified in Him, in Jesus Christ, to God the Father. And we believe that. Upon our belief in Christ, we then begin a process where we become transformed. Let's turn to a scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. I think you'll recognize this very quickly. Some of you may know this scripture when I call it out. Hebrews 6 verse 1. Hebrews 6 verse 1, familiar scripture to us. Therefore, it says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let's go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So we start with that foundation of repentance and faith. And we go on from there to perfection. Are we ever going to reach perfection in this life? Are we going to reach perfection in this life? Well, I think we know the answer to that, but let's find it in Scripture. Philippians 3. Come with me to Philippians 3. Here's what Paul says. Now, if you wanted to have an example of a Christian, the Apostle Paul would be a wonderful example of one who totally devoted his life to Christ, laid down his life for the brethren. And this is what he says, Philippians 3, verse 12. Notice this. Verse 12, Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. See, he's not perfect yet. He hasn't attained it. Not yet. Brethren, he says, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended. Not yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on to or toward perfection. So when is the process complete? Well, it ends either with our death or the return of Christ, whichever comes first. So our goal in all of our testing and all of the evaluation that God is doing of us is to be perfected in the day of Christ. We want to be standing on that day perfect. We want to be perfected in Christ. Notice what he says about the Philippians. Come over to Philippians 1, that they were in also a process of being perfected. Philippians 1, as Paul is praying for them here, praying for their faith, he says in verse 3 of Philippians 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. So this is his prayer for them. I'm very confident, he says in verse 6, of this very thing. Verse 6, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not perfect yet, because that day has not come. We're being evaluated now. This is the time that the church, judgment has come on the church of God. And judgment really is evaluation. We are under a test that God is looking to see what we are made of. And he wants us to pass that test. He's going to give us all the help we need to get to attain the goal. Now, we know that Paul fought the good fight till the very end. He fought the fight. He says, I have fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. That's 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. So Paul's perfection has been completed in death. He's come to the end of the race. Let me make another point. Our faith, then, as I was mentioning before, is demonstrated by our actions. So God wants to see what's in our heart. So he puts us to a test to see what is. And really, his tool is life itself. Life itself he uses to see what we're made of. And we believe, as I've said before, that salvation is not assured by faith alone. Now, we can do nothing to earn salvation, but our salvation is not assured by just believing and doing no works. This is where, again, we differ from mainstream Christianity. It is that we believe, we don't believe that we can be saved by the things that we do. We believe that our faith is demonstrated by our works. And the dispute really boils down to the fact that we believe that we must keep the commandments. We believe that. We see that the commandments are we are called to good works, which are defined by God's law. In doing the commandments and keeping his law, we are perfected in Christ, or we become perfect in Christ. We do what God says. Keeping the commandments is a demonstration of our faith. And when we do them from the heart, even to our own hurt, then we're passing the test. We're passing the test. The classic example of this in the scripture is the trial of Abraham for his faith. So we're going to go and look at that in the scriptures today, and that's Genesis 22. Abraham's faith was tested. So we're going to see in his example lessons for us that we can apply to our testing of our faith. Again, brethren, we know eternal life is a free gift. We could never earn it by our works, but God wants to see that we believe what he says and we will do what he says. And we are willing to show our love for him by our obedience to him. So let's look at this story in Genesis 22. This is, again, the classic scriptural example of the test of our faith. It begins in verse 1, Genesis 22. And now it came to pass, as it says, after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, just called his name. And he said, here I am. You notice how quickly he responded, how willingly, in essence, he responded, here I am, Lord. Abraham, he called, God did. Here I am, Abraham says, ready to listen, ready to obey. And then he says, God says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. How that is, we know, Abraham couldn't understand what God's purpose was in telling him to do this. But what was his response? He went. God said it. And he went. Now think of your own lives, brethren. Keeping the commandments and doing God's will, do you come to that point where you say, you know what? I don't really understand what God is doing here, but I know what the commandment says. And you go to God and say, okay, God, this is your commandment. This is what I must do, and I'm going to have to trust you to work this out. This is a test of your faith, as it was here with Abraham, a test of his faith. It was a trial of his faith. So Abraham, verse 3, arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him, Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah. And verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. You know, it's got to be going through his mind, okay, I'm taking my son, doing God's will, and I'm going to go and sacrifice him according to what God says. Now, I don't quite understand. I don't understand what God is doing. But I'm going to follow him because God said. So you can see, brethren, how this is a lesson for us. And Abraham said to his young men, verse 5, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back. So that's obviously a statement of faith. We will come back. He believed that God is going to solve this. So Abraham took the wood, laid it on his son, and he took the fire in his hand. It was like probably a censer or something, you know, a holder of with the coals inside of it, so he could have some smoldering fire there. And he took a knife, verse 6, and the two of them went together. Now put yourself in this situation, brethren. What would be going through his mind? Now think about your own life. When you're going through a difficult time, you don't know why this is happening. What is God doing? But you know what the commandment says. You know what God asked you to do. So you go forward. You do this in faith. And this is a demonstration of Abraham's faith. But Isaac spoke to his father, verse 7, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And then he said, look, Isaac said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, verse 8, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That is a statement of faith. He knew God would provide. He knew that Isaac was the son of promise, born to him and Sarah in their old age by promise when Sarah was past the time of childbearing. So he knew all this. He knew God was going to work it out. God himself will provide. And then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham, verse 9, built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know, I can imagine it. He's about to do it. But the angel of the Lord called to him, from verse 11, from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. I imagine he was rather relieved to hear that voice calling to him. And he said, the angel of the Lord, verse 12, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What a trial this was for him. It had to be. But God did provide. What a wonderful story for us. Now, James the Apostle talks about this in his epistle, talks about this trial of Abraham, when he's explaining that we demonstrate our faith by our works. So let's go to James chapter 2. We demonstrate our faith by our works. Notice what James says in James chapter 2. In verse 14, he says, what does it profit, my brethren? What does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith alone save him? And then verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Verse 21 of James 2. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? No, salvation is not of works. That's a free gift. But we cannot be made perfect. We cannot pass the test of our faith if we're not doing the works of the law of God, defined by the law of God. And James explicitly states in verse 24 of James 2, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. That's how he passes the test. A man is justified by works and not by faith alone. His works show his faith. And that verse right there, verse 24, was the reason Martin Luther started the Protestant Reformation, wanted this book of James removed from the Bible. Because a main tenet of Protestant teaching is faith alone. We don't accept that, brethren. Our faith is proved by our works. We pass the test of our faith by demonstrating by our works. And Paul is often used in his writings to show that the law is done away with. But Paul said this, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Not the hearers, but the doers will be justified. So we demonstrate, and let's turn to Galatians 2:16, and we'll see salvation is not by works. We demonstrate our faith by our works. Galatians 2:16. But those works could never, never earn us salvation. But they do have a reward. They do have a reward when we pass the test. Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even We have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. There is nothing we could do to qualify for salvation. Nothing to qualify us for salvation. But there is a reward by passing the test of our faith. And that test and what God is producing is precious to Him. So this is the final point I'll make here. The test of your faith is precious to God. What it produces is precious to God. Come with me to Psalm 66. So let's look at a couple verses here in Psalm 66. In the scriptures, you'll see several places, including here in Psalm 66, where God uses the analogy of the refining of silver, or the refining of gold, or refining process, to illustrate the testing of our faith. And we see it here in Psalm 66. You could find it also in Isaiah and Malachi. It's mentioned that analogy, this beautiful analogy, that the refining of metal, of silver, of gold, illustrates the test of our faith. Notice here in Psalm 66, verse 10. Verse 10 of Psalm 66. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Now, there's a refining process silver goes through. You have to melt that silver down from the ore or the rock, and then the dross is removed from that, and that's in that melting process to purify the silver. You have refined us as silver is refined. Verse 11. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our back. He's testing us. You have caused men to ride over our heads, and we went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. The silversmith is a skilled worker, and he knows the right temperatures for refining the metal. And he knows he can't get the fire too hot. It can't be in there too long. And I worked for a number of years in the forging industry, the metal forging industry. We had gas heat before we came to use the electric heat. But when we were using gas heat, we had to watch that metal to see if it was at the right temperature. We had no thermometer, no infrared pyrometer as we used in later years. But we watched it with our eyes, and when it was at the right temperature, we knew it could come out and be forged, and it was going to be formed. But if we let that metal get too white, it would burn the steel, it would burn it, and it was compromised, it wasn't good. And the silversmith, like a metal worker, has that skill, knows that. God knows that about you. He knows when to bring you out of a trial. And he did it with Abraham here. That knife was ready, and he was going to do it. And God intervened. What a relief for Abraham. Let's go back to James, if you would. We're going to go back to James for a few moments. Come with me there. James chapter 1. What does, brethren, the trial of our faith produce? As I said, James, as you're turning to James chapter 1, the test of our faith is precious to God. What is produced from it is precious to God. As the analogy of the silver, where you get that pure, refined metal, that precious silver. James chapter 1, verse 12. What does the trial of our faith produce? Verse 12 of James 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That approval of God comes after the test of our faith. Our faith is tested, and it earns God's approval when we pass. And he's going to make sure and do everything he can to help us pass. Notice the test, verse 2 of James 1. Beautiful verse here. Verse 2, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It produces something precious to God. That character he's looking for. Let's go to 1 Peter now. 1 Peter, come with me there to 1 Peter. God is producing in us, brethren, by the trial of our faith, a character that is precious to him. And it is the image of his son that he's looking for in us. 1 Peter chapter 1. As Peter writes here, we've been begotten to a living hope, as he says in verse 3, a living hope. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away. This was a gift we've been begotten to, that we didn't earn. We didn't earn this gift. It's been given to us. And we've realized it. We've been begotten to this inheritance incorruptible by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and our faith in that sacrifice. What a wonderful gift. And in this, he says, verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. For what purpose? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our perfection completed at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants to test the genuineness of our faith and for this beautiful creation to come from that fire, that test. Our obedience to God is our expression of our love for him. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we demonstrate our love by our works in keeping his commandments. That's really a demonstration of our faith in him. And we know, brethren, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I just quoted Hebrews 11, verse 6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him in faith. And as you're going through the trials of your faith, you're looking for God's will and how he's working things out, as Abraham did in that example that we looked at. He was trusting God to work it out. And that's what we look for as we are going through the trials of our faith. We're looking for God's will. Our chief concern, brethren, is to earn God's approval in passing the test of our faith. So today we looked at passing that test. And God was going to help us. We are called to pass. He wants us to pass. He's going to do everything he can to help us. We're not perfect yet. We are a work in progress. We have not achieved perfection yet. That is coming, though. That is coming either at our death or the return of Jesus Christ. That's when we have attained perfection, if we run the race of faith to the end. We demonstrate our faith in God by our actions, which are defined by the law of God, His commandments. We don't say that we earn our salvation. We show our love for God. Prove our faith by our works. And what God is looking for, what He's testing for in us, what that will come out of that testing is very, very precious to Him. He wants to see in us the image of Him, of His Son, Jesus Christ. So continue in well-doing and pass the test of your faith. The approval of God comes with testing. It comes when you pass. And brethren, you can pass the test.